Now, the apocryphal book of Enoch and Daniel, they have him coming as Son of Man on clouds of glory, executing vengeance, setting up his kingdom. Now, the Pharisees and rabbis and interpreters of scriptures focused in on those high points of his coming when he sets up his kingdom and executes vengeance on all that have opposed the will of God. They just overlooked the nearer mountain range of the first coming, where he had to come and die. Now, Jewish theologians within a certain Orthodox branch have had to somehow meet that challenge thrown out by teachers like me, because their own scriptures clearly prove a Messiah who must die and a Messiah who must come to reign and rule and execute vengeance and set up a kingdom. They have met the challenge of teachers like me by postulating what is, in my judgment, totally without scriptural foundation. Because Messiah must always come of the line of David. When God divided the birthright, he gave the birthright to Joseph's sons, but he lifted out of the general birthright two things and gave to the Jew, the descendants of Judah, and the kingdom formed around Judah, the scepter or right of kingship, and the right to make the law. Now, Jewish theologians of one branch have postulated a Messiah ben Joseph. They have two Messiahs yet to come, a Messiah ben Joseph, a Messiah ben Judah, ben being son. So a Messiah, son of Joseph, a Messiah, son of Judah. And they postulate that Messiah ben Joseph will actually be killed by Antichrist during the Battle of Armageddon. And Messiah ben Judah will then accomplish the victory and set up his kingdom. That's afterthought rhetoric to the simple fact that they overlooked that the day of the Lord was like a string of mountains, with the first coming, a gap, and the second coming yet to arrive. That gap theory is essential to interpret Daniel as it is essential to interpret Isaiah. And we have Christ's authority for letting the rest of Scripture give us the key, since no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation or stands alone. The rest of Scripture gives us the key. Jesus gives us the right to pull certain verses in the Old Testament apart and gap the events that occur first in time and then are separated by a gap of time filled in by other Scripture before the second range of mountains and the prophetic utterance is allowed to come in focus. Second, immediately, this fourth chapter, verse 33. He came down to Capernaum, the 31st verse said, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Daemon is the word in the Greek. Devil derivatives of that word, various forms. This happens to be demon. So just strike devil out and put demon. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean demon, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the demon, again, it should be demon, had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Now, modern minds cannot accept demons. Although, as you've heard me say before, it's the one thing I agree with George Burns, the very human God, who, when he was in the courtroom defending the concept of God, you remember he said, "Well, all a girl has to do is have a fit and vomit on the bed, and you believe in the devil. Why is it so hard to believe in God?" And he was referencing The Exorcist, as you know. More people believe in the devil today than they used to. And they used to believe any more than they used to. But we've gone through a wave of time when people think the devil doesn't exist. And he loves that, because he can get away with things he never thought possible, as long as people think he doesn't exist. Let's go to Mark. Continue to lay this second concept down. You just barely get into Mark's gospel. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness, the 12th verse says. Chapter 1, page 41, if you've got a Bible like mine. "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." Now, is that just poetry, or was there a being there tempting Christ and doing what the Scripture says? "He came out of the wilderness, called some disciples. They went to Capernaum," verse 21 says, "entered the synagogue and taught. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone.' Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him," literally shook him, "and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." 34th verse, "He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many demons." Verse 39, "He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons." Man, there's a lot of those things running around. Go to the third chapter. "He had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him," verse 10 says, "for to touch him as many as had plagues." And unclean spirits, again, these are demons. Unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." Now that should have really thrilled him. "He straightly charged them that they should not make him known." How did they know who he was? They'd never seen him before. Has that puzzled you? I mean, he came and tented in human flesh. That's the claim of the incarnation. That God moved into a tent of human flesh and tented. Kenned himself to us and moved into that tent called Jesus of Nazareth, and there we have God incarnate in the flesh. What did he look like? And now these demons see him for the first time, and they recognized him. How did they do that? I mean, did he look that way before he got here? These things puzzle me. What did Jesus look like that made him recognizable before he moved into the tent of flesh called Jesus of Nazareth? I mean, here he is wearing this disguise. The Lord of glory that spoke and the worlds were brought into existence, now walking around wearing a robe and a beard, I guess. And these angels, these demons see him for the first time and they say, "Thou art the Son of God." How do they know that? Or did they have a way of knowing this about Christ before it happened? That's another subject. We'll talk about that on festival. What was it that enabled them to recognize him? But he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Here are these demons about to blow his cover before he was ready to have the cover blown. Some people just read the Bible and they never see anything. Well, I've got to read it through. He'd heal many as much as the press upon him, touch him as many as that play unclean spirit, and they saw him fell down before him, charge out, son of God, and he spread charge in, they should not make him known. He goeth up into a mountain, calling them into it, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12. Verse 15, he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth the priests to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. There are a lot of them things, aren't there? Where'd they all go? Well, I can tell you, they get into some marriages. They even get into some husbands. You never believed I'd say it, did you, ladies? They get into churches. You notice the first ones he encountered were after Satan in the wilderness, where the Spirit drove him, was the synagogue. Churches are full of them. They're worshiping all over Los Angeles. Now let's keep going. Fifth chapter of Mark. My message will be very short and to the point. I want to lay this authority down. Are you convinced that Jesus applied a gap theory? All right, Jesus is authority for demons. They came over to the other side of the sea, chapter 5, page 47. Into the country of the Gadarenes, Mark chapter 5. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. He'd just break them. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice. He saw Jesus afar off. Ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we be many." And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now, other passages and other gospel writers have him say, "Art thou come to send us into the abyss, the bottomless pit before our time?" Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us in the swine, that we may enter them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And pigs wouldn't have them. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. That's why I've never swam in the Sea of Galilee. I don't even want to eat fish caught in the Sea of Galilee. 2,000 of them. This goes on and on. I mean, demons are everywhere. I'm telling you, you can't be Orthodox Christian and you can't be Orthodox Jew and not recognize there are hordes of supernatural beings moving around, capable of moving into people and possessing them. Now let's go to Daniel. Tenth chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks, 21 days, were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Page 973, Daniel chapter 10. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my vigor, literally, was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. 21 days ago, Daniel, I heard you. 21 days ago, this powerful angel that even unseen could cause all the men that were with Daniel to quake with fear. This powerful angel that caused Daniel to fall on his face trembling started 21 days earlier to answer Daniel's prayer and was coming with an answer, but, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. A mere earthly king, hogwash. This angel could make people that didn't even see him quake and fall on the ground or run with fear. Some pot-bellied oriental despot sitting on a throne in the capital city of Persia kept this angel. No, it's as when God prophesied against the prince of Tyre, and all of a sudden the prophecy began to describe Lucifer before he fell. The prophecy is against the real prince. The equivalent is the demoniac of the Gadarene, who spoke as though his name was Legion, because he was possessed by thousands of demons. The king of Persia was possessed, or at the very least under the control of a demonic prince of Satan. When man sinned, to whom God had given authority, he reneged, and God turned over the power to Satan, and he is the prince of the power of the air. Which is why Paul says of the church, that is why I cannot have anything but the best in this warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Evil beings in high places. There is a war going on. And this is one of the few churches in the world that even knows the war is going on. There are evil, supernatural forces. That's why people go to work here, they get caught napping. This is not heaven. This is the battle zone. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. 1 in 20 days. Keep your finger there. Take my word for it. As I go to one of the last books in the Bible. You just stay there in Daniel. It's a little one chapter, that's all. Page 292, if you have to go with me. Book of Jude. Next to the last book in the New Testament. I will therefore put you in remembrance, the fifth verse says. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's Israel, afterward destroyed them that lacked faith. That's why I want new beginnings. Too many people have started to coast and lost their faith and lost their first love. And the angels, to let you know that God can be tough, I'd put you in remembrance how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, principality is the word, that wouldn't stay in the box that God put them in, that were unhappy to exercise the authority and the domain that God had measured out for them, but decided they would presume and move out of that box, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over, literally to pornography, and going after strange flesh is set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And he speaks of those angels. That's strange. This is the link up to that strange chapter in Genesis where the sons of God came down and left their domain and assignment and intermingled with the women on this earth. Likewise, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet, Michael, as evil as they were, you better understand that until God says enough, these are powerful creatures, these fallen angels. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Yet, Michael durst not bring against him, that is the devil, a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." One of those strange, enigmatic scenes. Nobody knows where Moses is buried. He called up, he climbed up on Mount Nebo where he could look over to the promised land. He says, "Please, God, I've brought him this far. Let me at least go into that land." And God said, "Don't you even talk to me about it anymore." He had failed his Lord in striking the rock that second time. "Don't you even talk to me about it. You're not going in." Nobody knows where he was buried. This is the only clue that Satan and Michael fought over his body. But in the fight, Michael durst not rail against him because God hasn't yet said, as he will say in the book of Revelation, "Go get him, Michael." These are very real principalities and powers that we fight against. If you want some of the pressure to go off of you, quit working for me. Quit trying to be a part of this that is seizing people free from the devil's grasp. And he's got more of them in the church than any other single place per capita. Those out in the world, they're really not as hard to rescue. You give them hope, they come in. The boy in the church, they think they're all right. The devil's got their mind closed. And they don't even know that they have substituted their works for Christ's grace. And Satan toasts their effort in hell every day because he knows he's going to get them. We fight a real devil. That's the point I'm making. That's what opposed this angel. Go back to Daniel chapter 10. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, was Michael one of the chief princes of Persia? Now, what he's saying is that these are princes in heavenly realm. Some of them represent princes who left their first estate, and judgment is their lot, and their day is coming. But they once stood in equality in the hierarchy of the heavenlies with Michael and with Gabriel. Now, Michael's a faithful prince on God's side, but the prince of the power of the air and his lieutenants, one scripture has it, a third of heaven went out when Lucifer was cast out. They still rule as princes of the power of the air and rule governments down here through their instrumentalities that have come under their control. This prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this angel 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, literally the first of the princes, came to help me. I remained there with the kings of Persia. That means that he and Michael fought these evil angels 21 days. And now they had gotten the upper hand on them sufficient in a fight analogous to Michael and Satan fighting over the body of Moses. Upper hand was achieved until this angel could come to Daniel and leave Michael in a holding action. He said, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And he begins to speak. And when you look at the sentences that follow, you know no earthly mortal could stand up to this angel. This angel then begins, after giving him the message that I'll skip over, then said he in the 20th verse, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? I've just told you. Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in Scripture of truth. There's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. I've been fighting alone, this angel says, against these demon princes. And there's none that fights with me in this but Michael, the prince that God has assigned specifically to the Jew and to the city Jerusalem. Also I, he says, there's no chapter and verse in Daniel. That's added by the translators. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen to him. Strengthen him, in short, he's saying to Daniel. You know, the only one that helped me in my battle against these evil princes was Michael. But once, a few years later, Michael had a fight with him. And I was the one that stood with him. Now he's helping me. I've left him with these demons in a holding action. And it took me 21 days to fight through these evil forces. I'm here to give this prophecy for you. Now I'm going to go back and fight that evil prince of Persia. And when we're done, he's no more. Lo, the prince of Grecia comes. That's why I say, Alexander the Great that skimmed across the nation as though nothing could stand in front of him, was empowered by this evil demon prince of Grecia. I'm not talking about the earthly prince. Evil princes empower these evil rulers that fought against God's people. When Alexander the Great dies, you go back earlier in Daniel, let me quickly sum it up. You go back earlier in Daniel, it says concerning the Medo-Persian Empire, that ram, no power could stand against it. Then all of a sudden the goat comes on the scene, which is interpreted by the angel as Greece. And the goat comes with a collar against him, it says. And there's no power in the ram. The reason there's no power in the ram, this angel with Michael fought and vanquished the evil prince that had given the power to the Medo-Persian Empire. And he prophesied aright. When the fight was over and they whipped that evil prince that gave power to Medo-Persia's rulers, lo, the prince of Grecia would come. And Alexander the Great would sweep across like a threshing machine, apparently without opposition. Now, the same Daniel says, in the forms and symbols of his prophecy, this prince of Grecia enables Alexander the Great to come as the great notable horn. But in the midst of his power, he's broken off. And his kingdom is given to the four little horns, his generals. And they reign, the scripture says, but not in his power. The reason they reign not in his power is just as the prince of Persia, as a result of this fight with Michael and the angel that came to Daniel, is no more. And the prince of Grecia comes with power. When Alexander the Great is broken off in his prime, the prince of Grecia does not stay around. And the generals that succeed Alexander the Great do not have his power. And I go to Revelation and I'm done. If you don't believe in demons, you won't be able to interpret the book of Revelation. Chapter 13. The beast, Antichrist, in the last days rises up. A beast rises out of the sea, which is the community of people, having seven heads. That's his history of seven kingdoms and ten horns. That's the kingdom yet to come that puts a consolidation or a commonwealth or a community together of at least ten nations that formerly were part of the Roman Empire, and they will give their authority to a successor of the old Alexander the Great Grecian kingdom, particularly the Seleucid portion. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. I've already read that. Feet, leopard, having the nature of Greece, the geographic territory where the bear was, the old Medo-Persian Empire, and his mouth will speak the philosophy of Babylon. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Who is this ruler, Antichrist, who has a history of having been, then is not, and then is again, which has conjured up the air of looking for some man shot in the head who recovers to be Antichrist? It's this beast. Antichrist, who will come out of the bottomless pit and will go to perdition. They worship the dragon. I'm still in that 13th chapter, which gave power unto the beast. That's Satan. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now let's go on over to the 17th chapter. Again, we have this beast. The beast which thou sawest, verse 8 of the 17th chapter. The beast which thou sawest was. He was when he empowered Alexander the Great. as the prince of Grecia, and is not, he ceased to be in the arena of history. He was just as the prince of Persia was no more, the prince of Grecia was no more. When the notable horn, Alexander the Great, was broken off, his generals, the successors, ruled, but not in his power. Because his power came from the prince of Grecia, named by that angel that talked to Daniel. The beast which thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. There's only one word in the Greek, abyss. Sometimes it's translated bottomless pit, sometimes it's translated pit. Our English word is a cognate for the Greek word, abyss. An unknown place where demons are bound temporarily. It's the same place that the 20th chapter will say, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. Abyss is the word in the Greek, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. The word is abyss. And shut him up 1,000 years. It's the exact same place that in the earlier chapters of the book of Revelation, we see demons come out of the bottomless pit. 9th chapter. The fifth of page 300. If you've got a Bible like mine. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. An angel. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Abyss is the word. And he opened the bottomless pit. Abyss. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and they're the ones that harm man, except the 144,000 that have the seal in their forehead. In the Gospels, when the demons cried out to Christ, Art thou come to send us to the abyss before our time? They knew of that prison ground. Now, this prince of Grecia that came after the prince of Persia was defeated, that prince of Grecia gave Alexander the Great his power. That prince of Grecia was no more when the notable horn, Alexander the Great, was cut off. And that prince of Grecia, the one that's wounded in his head and was and is not and is now again, had to make a trip to the bottomless pit. That's why it will not be some earthly ruler that gets shot in the head. The beast from the bottomless pit is the same beastly prince of evil that empowered Alexander the Great. And that beast will re-empower a successor to the Seleucid kingdom of Alexander the Great in the territory of western Iran, northern Iraq, Syria, or southern Turkey. And he will, that evil prince out of the bottomless pit, will possess whomever has been given chairmanship of the restored Roman Empire. And at that point, he will become the demon-possessed Antichrist, mouthpiece of Satan, that Antichrist really means. Don't look for some little boy with blazing strange eyes that's killing people looking out windows in the Middle East today. Antichrist does not become full orb until the man to whom the chairmanship of this reconstituted Roman Empire is given, the man who comes up with a peace formula for the Middle East, will be possessed by this beast that was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That's Antichrist. You've got to believe in demons, the authority of Christ, to ever be able to understand that when Antichrist, full-orbed, moves on the stage of history and takes the power and no longer is just a chairman of the ten-horned kingdom or the ten-toed kingdom, but sets up the eighth kingdom, which is Antichrist, I'm going to be gone, thank God. But that is a demon-possessed man with the prince of Grecia that's been in the abyss, now out again to take Antichrist and this world into perdition. With that foundation, I continue on the book of Revelation. I want to ask you a favor. I want you to jam. For lots of reasons, including those that know the secret, I want you to jam Stamp Expo 85 at the Anaheim Sheraton. You that can get down there, I want you to go. I want you to see 45 years of my life's work that won the grand. Among other things, I won first and second this time. I want you to go. You will only see the winners on display. But I want you to go just so I can demonstrate to the stamp world that you will go. Just go jam the place today and go to all the dealers and talk to them about how you can get started collecting stamps of Israel, because you'll find that your kids can get turned on to that, and they'll understand me when I start teaching on these prophetic things better than the parents of other people. So your pastor's asking you to do it as a favor. I haven't got much time to talk about it. I've been talking on TV. It's open till 5 o'clock today at the Sheraton Anaheim, Ball Road exit. You can't miss it as you drive down the Santa Ana Freeway or up it. The Sheraton Anaheim looks like a big castle. And when you come to Ball Road exit, and you're there. It's open till 5. Tell them Dr. Scott sent you, and you get a discount going in. Okay? Now, I want you to help me start over. A new beginning. If I can find new enthusiasm at 56, all I ask is a fresh start. I think this message lets you know the kind of opposition we're up against. You can't limp to battle half asleep. You can't be lackadaisical. I believe that God has raised up this ministry to communicate intelligent truth about God in a wilderness of TV confusion. And the doors have never been as wide as they are right now. Tonight, I'd like to have our budget raised by 10 o'clock. And we'll start by about 7. You can expect us to be live about 7. That gives you time to run the errand I've told you to run. The budget can be raised by 10 o'clock. All I need is 500 people giving $1,000. And I'm asking each of you that sit in front of me, what's it worth to you to be a part of this ministry? And can you stretch your faith muscles once again and tell the devil he's a loser and help us win? We go on Kansas State Network, all the NBC affiliates, blanketing the whole state. We've never done that before. An entire state in one fell swoop at 10 p.m. tonight, and they ask us to come aboard. We go on in Fresno at 11 p.m. tonight, Channel 59. We go on in Indianapolis tomorrow night and every night thereafter. Never has a door opened like is now open for us. Just give me the freedom to start afresh with a team that says, go for it. And support to that team that lets us rise to the wondrous calling that God has given us to make an impact on our generation like nothing else that's being done. I really believe we're doing the most important thing that's being done in this generation. I want you to ask yourself today, how far are you willing to go to make it happen? And be one of the first to get on that telephone and say, you can count on me. Me and God together are going to work a miracle of faith by the 18th, and you can count on me. That's what I'm going to ask you at 7 p.m., and I want you at the telephone listening on FM radio at 7 p.m. today, so that I can have it all out of the way by the time the new Kansas State Network joins us at 10 o'clock tonight. That's my message. I'll continue it next Sunday. Sam's going to sing it again. I'm going through. Good day.